Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
We've been nice for long enough. Harrison Barnes, Kevin Herter, your time now. Chris, would you like the floor?
I think I'm good.
Then I'll go.
Okay. Set the tone.
It's just bizarre to me that you have two guys, and I know Herter, what do you get benched for, a day? Benched for one game?
I believe so.
Was benched, I know Duarte not more started than two, one game. Not more so, than two yeah. games. Kevin Herter got benched. That was short-lived. And Harrison Barnes has not gotten benched. And if it wasn't for Sabonis getting injured, the foul trouble, both of those guys would not have been closing. And that's a problem. And maybe that goes back to Monty McNair. But you can't have two dudes in your starting lineup that just seem to disappear when it matters most. I asked a question last night in the media room, and I will not say who participated in it or not, but you know these people. You love them. Maybe you don't, but you probably do. And I asked the question, Grayson Allen or Kevin Herter? The first person that I asked looked at me as if I was crazy, with their answer being Kevin Herter. The next six people... said Grayson Allen.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Grayson Allen is a starting player on a championship team.
Yeah, Milwaukee would tell you no.
And he right now, and look, maybe a season to season, I'm taking Grayson Allen over Kevin Herter every day of the week.
This year for sure.
Who is the Kevin Herter comp that is who is a Kevin Herter comp right now? And do they give me a starting player? That's a Kevin Herter. Current starting player.
I'm going to have to look at some logos here, but...
Because off the top of my head is Duncan Robinson, and he doesn't start.
Yeah, Duncan Robinson for sure. I mean, I was going to say like Joe Harris a couple years ago, but he's so deep on the bench right now that if Kevin Herter becomes Joe Harris, that's an absolute nightmare. Let's see here. Really putting me on the spot.
Well, there's just not a lot of one-dimensional... shooters that
Klay
are
starting
that are sure and he got benched.
That's
Klay's
true,
benched.
Right.
Can't even say Klay anymore. He got benched.
Yeah, I mean I'm struggling to find some. I'm looking at every team in the NBA right now and I'm not looking, you know, specifically at their rosters, but yeah, I mean, you know, Luke Kennard had a good game last night. He's maybe
what's
somebody.
What's he on? Who's on? Jazz?
He's on Memphis. So I don't know.
On the yeah. Grizzlies?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you asked.
On the tanking
look,
Grizzlies?
Look, you asked the question. I'm just.
Okay, we have one.
Yep.
Maybe this one will be easier. Give me a Harrison Barnes comp right now. That's a starter. And he's got to be the same
age. Is Andrew
Wiggins
starting these days? Well, I guess technically not.
Technically not.
It's not easier. I mean, because Tobias Parris is playing great. So
right.
I
he's
can't,
made his way out of that comp.
Can't say that. I mean, yeah, it's tough. Not a lot of teams have that level of inconsistency from two of their five starters.
And maybe you could find them somewhere, but the problem is if they're older...
I mean, not
older,
that they actually rely on.
Right.
Like, you know, it might be guys like your old Andre Roberson, where it's like,
right.
You know, okay, I'm not expecting something out of that starter. And so that's almost like a default, hey, we can throw, I mean, OKC at the time would throw James Harden into that. But yeah, you know, it's not like... You know, Kevin Herter and HB, there are plans for them to be very productive in games. It's just kind of a crapshoot each game.
You can just rip up the game plan like Kyle Draper. That's what you need to do. Rip up the game plan because you have a game plan every game, and then it doesn't end up working out. And we got to sit here and talk about Kevin Herter and his rebounding.
Deflections.
Deflections!
Come on.
How many deflections does Duncan Robinson have?
Can't answer that one.
Matter of fact,
can't answer that one.
Duncan Robinson came into this here house, and what'd he have? He didn't score a bucket.
He did not. No, he had 11 assists.
And he had a career high in assists.
Yeah, yeah.
A career high in assists.
Yeah, and we saw that out of Kevin last year. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Is that he just has not been the player that he was last year at all. And, you know, I think, you know, that's what made that Grayson Allen question so interesting to think about was just – you know, in general, like, yeah, my initial vibe says Kevin Herter is a better player than Grayson Allen. But if you factor in, and maybe it's just we're too close to the situation here, watching Kevin Herter every single night, but this year, it's been bad, man. Like, there's no way around it. He's shooting around, you know, where would be decent for a guy like him, but the Kings need him to be a 40% three-point shooter. That's what they're bringing him in for. They're not bringing him in to be an average 37% from the three-point line. They're looking for Kevin Herter to be near 40, if not over 40, like he was last year. Last year, the Kings had two guys who hit 200 threes, Keegan and Kevin Herter. This year, shocked me to find out. Who would you think is leading the Kings in three-point makes, total three-point makes this season?
Who's leading the Kings in three-point makes? Yes, you said it's obviously not Kevin Herter.
Total three-point makes.
Can I get in on this?
Absolutely.
I'm going to say Malik Monk.
It's either Malik or De'Aaron Fox.
It is De'Aaron Fox by 15 made threes. He's made 146
made threes. That is not good.
No, that's not good at all. De'Aaron should not be your most prolific three-point shooter. Malik is behind him at 131.
That's also not great.
Keegan's at 125, which is, you know, Keegan finished with 204, I think, last year. Kevin Herter's at 120.
That's the reason at 114. Kevin Herter's here.
And he make two threes last night?
I believe so.
It was back-to-back possessions.
He hit two threes last night.
And then there was nothing else.
That's right, yeah. They were back-to-back possessions. And you didn't see anything else from him after. And, it's been an up-and-down year for Kevin, which the ups haven't even been up. Like, Kevin Herter up last year was, to start the season, he shot 50% from three for about a month and a half. We're lucky to get a 40% streak from Kevin. And he's been great or good, better, I think like 20 of the last 25 games or so, but it has not been good enough. And that brings me to HB, who, man, I felt like I was on an island for the past 3 years here screaming. I just didn't think HB was giving enough. I thought, you know, for especially at the time what he was getting paid, he was not living up to the bargain. And now it's more of the same, except it seems like it should be easier for him with less attention. Like, HB was, when he first came to this team, he was the second, maybe third option. Nowadays, HB's like sixth, seventh option. And the fact that he still isn't having impact every single night, it's just insane to me. Like, it's one thing, yeah, whatever, HB had 11 points. Not great, for sure. But you said it, 10 points, thank you, even worse. The one assist, the one rebound. What is that about? How is that possible? How is HB playing 24 minutes and getting a single rebound?
It's actually impressive.
It's insane. The dude is 6'8". He's playing power forward. And I understand Sabonis is the leading rebounder in the NBA. He probably has a bit of a monopoly on, hey, everybody just run down the floor. I'll get the rebound. Don't worry about it. But one rebound from a forward
Davion
is disrespectful.
Davion had three.
That's ridiculous.
Malik Monk had four.
Come on.
Duarte had five.
Come on. One rebound. You got to help out your team, man. You talked about that Duncan Robinson game. 0 points. I think he was 0 of 6, 0 of 7. So he was trying to put it on. Still got 11 assists. Find other ways to impact the game. HB, I was telling you, I watched every single DeRozan bucket in the second half. You can go on NBA.com, go on the box score, look at second half on the pull-down menu, click on the 9 made field goals that DeMar DeRozan scored. The first 7, HB ISO. Just absolutely cooked him. He just hasn't been good enough, and, you know, I think, you know, him signing this contract did this past offseason, he's a bench player, man. He just is. He is a bench player at this point.
That was my whole point of what I said earlier.
Yeah.
You have two guys. You cannot roll out those two dudes the way they're playing next season. Yeah. That's malpractice. Yeah. Not as starters.
Yeah. No.
You can't do it.
I can understand maybe one of them, if one of them is in the starting lineup, but you cannot run both of them out again. Not after what they've done this year. I mean, I truly do think that, you know, as much as I said De'Aaron earlier, him scoring 30 would definitely massage a lot of things. I think this season goes infinitely better if Kevin Herter just looks like the Kevin Herter he looked like last year. Or if HB, I know HB took a huge step back, but if HB found a way for his game to evolve. Mm-hmm. He has been in the league for more than enough years now. And frankly, he has not been at the top of his game for a couple years now. Mm-hmm. He should have figured out how to have impact without scoring in a game. This is, I mean, he's been with this team for four. Yesterday, I posted the graphic. He played his HB has played as many games regular season as a Sacramento King as Chris Webber did after yesterday. 377 for each of them. And he has not figured out how to play without having a major role in the offense yet. I can't believe it. I mean, he's 30 years old, supposed to be the most veteran guy on this team. And yet, more times than not, we have to play the game of, was HB out there? Did you notice him? And that can't be the case for a team that's having championship aspirations. I mean, that's what Philly, that's why they've been trying to get Tobias Harris out of town. Mm-hmm. And again, Tobias Harris has actually been producing. There's yes. levels to this disappearing act. And HB can't even get to the point where we've had three games this year. We're four games, really. It was four and five games. Four games and five appearances that HB looked like a guy who, wow, I would take this guy on a playoff team.
Yeah, right near That's the it. Trade deadline.
Yeah, right before
you
the trade deadline.
Got hoodwinked.
Led astray. Bamboozled.
From the 5-1-0.
Come on.
Every other game, Styles says HB is about to go off, and we're still waiting. That's not
no, that's
true.
Not true. He says it about Kevin Huerter.
That's about, yeah, I say about Come Kevin on. Huerter. 5-1-0. I don't
Being
say
ridiculous.
It about HB. When we return, we continue the conversation. We're also going to have a bit of a palate cleanser and that get to some great. Of these new rules in the NFL. Also, Utah with specific NIL rules
oh
for them. Debo reflects sure on the Super Bowl loss. Where do the Niners go from here? And we will break down Matt Chapman. Chappie signing with the Giants and what that means for them. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
We will always take your calls and your texts and your Sack Chat if you want to talk Kings, but we are going to give everybody a little bit of a break and get into some NFL news. Debo reflecting on the Super Bowl loss and Brandon Ayuk. The extension that he is hoping to receive and some new rules for the NFL. But first, Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports for your chance to see Chris Brown at the Golden One Center this summer, July 30th. That is in 45 minutes. We will give away tickets at 1 p.m. to see Chris Brown at the Golden One Center on July 30th. Don't miss it if you want to have your chance to win. All right. So Debo was on Up and Adams, who we did not get on the show, but she had her own huge, FanDuel had a huge setup at Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So we saw the whole area, and they have crowds, almost a live audience. And I thought one of the things that, you know, is kind of a motivation, really, if you're looking to continue to move up in the space, is that the crowd, you had to be in media. So
yeah,
this was
right.
other media members watching right. Up and Adams and, yes. and watching Pat McAfee. So there were just levels mm-hmm. to everything. And Kay Adams had a huge setup in FanDuel. And, you know, and as we've played sound before, she has Debo on once a week. Not sure how long that's going to last, but it's still going now. And Debo was on the show and had some things to say about the Super Bowl loss. He opens up a little bit and was honestly pretty realistic about the whole thing.
I mean, now, you know, I kind of put it behind me. About to get back in the lab here in a week. About to take son to Disney World. And after that, you know, get back in the lab. But, I mean, 2 and 5 years, like, that's it's pretty rough. You know, being right there, the two that we've been in is just falling short. Like, it's just so heartbreaking, man. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you got to move on, and, you know, it's the next year, and, you know, we're just going to continue to grind and do what we set out to do.
How do you do it? How do you put it behind you?
It's kind of hard because, you know, all we know is, like, basically our job is, like, football, so it's just like, all right, let's use this motivation when you get back in the lab just to put yeah. yourself in a position and try to do your best to, you know, get back, because people just say, you know, it's always the next year, but I heard that in 2019, and it took four more years to get where we at. So, I mean, it's not that easy as people think to get to the Super Bowl. And, you know, it takes everything. It takes me, the coaches, the guys, the people upstairs, and for them to bring people in to help and for everything just to play out right. It's just like, you're not going to snap your hands and you're just back in the Super Bowl again. It's harder than people.
I mean, he kept it real, and I really appreciate it.
That's interesting.
I really appreciate Debo keeping it real because on paper and
it's so easy everybody, to just say, hey, man, we'll be back. Yes. You already know. We got a fire in our belly, all that stuff.
They are better set up to be back than the Eagles were. We've discussed it before. But we know the numbers, and I think there's only 8 teams that have gone back, and out of those 8 teams, only 3 ended up winning the Super Bowl. It's a very small number. It's 7 or 8, and 3 teams have actually won it. And that's not including the fact that they just went in 2019.
That's right.
So that's on top of that. Everybody can say it looks good on paper. And the idea of this is the last hoorah, everyone can try to turn every year into the last hoorah. I mean, it's been the quest for 6 for how
many
years?
Remember Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers' last dance?
That's right. I actually forgot about that last dance. Even on paper, what do you think are the realistic chances of the Niners returning to the Super Bowl?
I mean, they have a chance, right? Like, I mean, that's all you can really ask for is that they're going to be one of the 4 best teams in the NFL next year on paper, even already. Debo's right, though. There's so many random things that can go on. I mean, how many quarterbacks did we see go down this year? Like, so many things can change overnight. I mean, we saw how different the Niners even looked without Debo for those 3 weeks. It's just tough, man. Once you're there, it's you know, Debo said it. Like, success isn't linear, too. Like, we've talked about with the Kings. Just because you go 1 year does not mean you're going to go to the next year. Just because you have the best team does not mean you're going to win the Super Bowl. I think the Niners learned that this year.
And the Ravens.
It's pretty random. It is pretty random. I mean, the shot that the Niners have to get to the conference championship, you know, they're probably the favorite amongst all teams, like even more so than the Chiefs because of the gauntlet that's in the AFC. The Niners probably have the best odds to at least reach that. And at that point, I mean, it's all just kind of how the deck falls, right? I mean, it's you can only put yourself in the situation. Things have to go right. You got to get lucky, as we saw with the fluke to Ayuk or whatever you want to call it. All you can really realistically do is give yourself a shot. And I think the Niners have as good of a shot, if not a better shot, than just about anybody in the NFL.
Yeah, and it did take a lot for them to get there. I'm also thinking as far as
the run that they've been on, too, remember.
Right. The optimistic look is I've seen a lot of Niner fans just say, just get a better offensive line around Brock and we're good to go.
Yeah.
Just get whoever you need in the draft, shore up that offensive line and we're good to go. And as we've stated, it's obviously not that easy to find legit offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the positive outlook. And I think the negative outlook would be that it is really tough to get back, and you have to look at other teams. One thing that the optimistic side continues to say is that the NFC will not be that much stronger next season.
Right.
And somebody even went as far as to say, well, who is going to challenge the Niners in the NFC? Don't let the Lions shore up defensive side.
Yeah.
I mean, you how could you
Packers
forget?
Even.
You act like you just bulldoze all these teams.
Yeah.
You almost tricked off the only two games you had to play to get to the Super Bowl. Yep.
Against the easier competition, remember?
Against the easier competition.
The favored competition,
right.
I should say.
And I'm not, I know I've been low on the Eagles, but to say that there's just no one, I think that's a little, think you're playing with your food a little too much.
I mean, the Cowboys too.
The Cowboys, you know? Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe it'll be that season for the Cowboys, and you know that probably where it, sure it's not great, but what about that dark horse that everybody was worried about, the Rams,
right?
Now nobody's worried about the Rams anymore.
Right,
they were broken all season
and
still made it into the playoffs and still actually scared you,
right? Yeah, and a lot of people talk, I mean, there's a lot of smoke around the Falcons right now.
Falcons,
who they end up getting at quarterback. I mean they got a lot of playmakers over there. But I mean, you know, I do still feel like they have the best chance. It is just interesting to hear I just would have thought Debo would have been the exact person to do the opposite, to say, like, you know, I mean, this is the dude who was trash-talking the Eagles during the offseason. I just kind of thought he would have. And I don't think that's saying Debo isn't confident in his team. I'm honestly just surprised that he came out there and was that measured. I don't know. I mean, I think that's definitely the right mentality to have, that this is not, you know, just a given thing, that the Niners are talented and that they're going to have to earn it. But I don't know. Yeah, I think they should be fine. Like, I mean, you look at the teams that are rising in the NFC, even if they do, I just don't see anybody reaching the level of the Niners next year.
Well, the bottom line is, and look, not to get into the cap conversation, because every time you just got to restructure and everything's fine. You have to pay Brock after this next season. Yep. That's one thing we do know.
Yep.
So whatever version of Last Dance this is, I do think it's this coming season, because you have to pay Brock.
Mm-hmm.
And you can try to restructure as much as you want, but all of them dudes ain't going to stay on the same team.
I mean, Trent's going to go.
This is it. This is probably it.
Might have to make a decision between those receivers.
Sooner than later. Yep. And I have a source who told me that basically, and this might be obvious, but basically that if the Niners are going to move Ayuk, it will be before the draft. So they can scout, obviously, his replacement. Now, I don't know what that means for Ronnie Bell or whatever type of receivers you're looking for. Danny Gray is actually still a Niner for now. So if they're planning on moving Ayuk, it would probably be very soon. So they would be able to have time to figure out if they what wide receiver they want to take moving forward to be that next version of Ayuk. When we get back, new rules for the NFL. More football can't be a bad thing, right? Styles and Watkins, Sackdown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
This is from Bleacher Report. From Timothy Rapp. The NFL's expansion to 17 regular season games was controversial, given the potential impact it had on player safety. But the league isn't likely to stop there, according to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. This is a quote. The push to 18 regular season games hasn't been abandoned. Health and safety concerns be damned. Close quote. Cleveland Browns general manager Andrew Berry said during, this is last Tuesday's PFT Live, that NFL teams were trying to push back the trade deadline by 2 weeks, with 1 week being added due to the expanded 17-game schedule. And the other, in anticipation of an 18th regular season game eventually being added, as Florio noted. In talking to folks after that, I mentioned Barry's plan with the anticipation of another game. The reaction was basically, yeah, that's coming. Close quote.
So they're going to get an extra bye, though, correct?
I think so.
Yeah. 20 regular season games and then... I'm sorry, 20 regular season weeks.
Yeah.
With two byes and then a pushed back trade deadline.
Anything about preseason in there too?
Here you go.
Yeah, cut preseason. Yes.
If the plan is to reach 18 regular season games and two preseason contests,
there you go. Yeah.
Florio wondered if going with 20 regular season games and eliminating the preseason altogether might eventually follow.
Interesting.
The league office and team owners will inevitably follow the money, and there is plenty of demand for more NFL football. From a financial standpoint, adding another regular season game makes sense, but keeping players healthy was hard enough when the schedule was just 16 games. Players continue to get bigger, stronger, and faster. Collisions are more violent in the sport than they were 30 years ago. Some people might disagree with that. There are limits to what the human body can
absolutely
endure.
Yeah. I'd like to add real quick. Yes. Kyle Shanahan has mentioned several times in the past, he feels that preseason only needs to be like either one game or a half for him to understand.
Half is crazy.
To understand, like,
his
you
roster.
Know, yeah. Because, and you know, I mean, a lot of people don't trust him, but I feel like that's fair.
I think two makes sense. You know, one in one of those games, whether it be the first or the second, like you're going to get your mock run of your starters and all that. But, you know, you do need to, just, like the Niners this past offseason or this past preseason, mm-hmm. were trying to figure out Trey Lance or Sam Darnold. And I think it ended up taking three preseason games for them to eventually land on Darnold. You probably could have known after two, but two feels right to me. I definitely, four is way too many for the preseason. The 20 weeks, like, I get it. I'm not going to complain about more NFL weeks, but to me, the player safety thing is, you know, I don't mean to just, you know, bring up the talking point, but I think it's legit. Like, I think guys really struggle to just get through, what is it? It was 16 games. Now it's 17 games. And if you're going to make it 18 games, it just feels like that is a lot of wear and tear on the body. And, you know, we saw last year quarterbacks getting hurt at an alarming rate. I can't imagine if you add an extra week, just in totality, how many more injuries you're going to see. And it's going to be a lot. It's going to be a whole lot. And people use preseason to get back in shape, too. I mean, that's, you know, how many guys hold out and, you know, just have to get ready in the duration of the season. Like, I don't know. I think that while it might sound nice, I think it's going to lead to more problems than it's going to. You know, I mean, money is going to be great, but besides that, that's really the only win I can see for the actual football product.
Yeah, this is also from the Bleacher Report article. The league could mitigate the injuries by adding a second bye week to the regular season if it goes to 18 games. It would also make sense to tie the majority of Thursday night games to the week after a team has a bye, eliminating as many of the short turnarounds as possible.
They're going to start paying people more too? Because that's the night. If our boss comes in and tells us, hey, y'all going to have to start working on Saturdays now too, I'm going to say, well, that sounds like a whole extra shift that I'm picking up. And so if you're, you know, just, I mean, you know, I'm sure the NFL will spread some of it, but like, how are you going to, you know, the PA is going to have something to say about that for sure. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, if they want more football, they're going to get more football. The dollars will speak for itself. But I don't know. Like, how do you feel just in general about the oversaturation, too? I mean, with football being played now on Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, Sunday.
I think
you're going to add two more weeks.
Created a conspiracy, Chris. Not to
really?
Cut you off.
That's great.
But
I love that.
As you guys know, last week the salary cap went up. Significantly,
yes,
more
true.
Than most people thought.
That's right.
That could be playing into spreading the money. If the salary cap keeps gradually going up slowly, that might have to do with the more games coming. That might be telling you right now that the 18-game season is around the corner, whether it's two or 3 years away.
Yeah, and
that's super interesting.
I just want to know where that line is. I don't think that line is at 18 games. Is that line at 20? Because the article also mentions this year alone, quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Kyler Murray, Kirk Cousins, Deshaun Watson, and Anthony Richardson, among others, all missed significant time.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers could have came back.
If
there was 20 regular season weeks, he would have been back.
That's also true.
Week 17.
The NFL might want the profits that come from more regular season games, but how compelling are those extra contests if backup quarterbacks like Zach Wilson, Jake Browning, that's a stray, Easton Stick, et cetera, are the ones primarily playing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think that 18, you're getting close.
Yeah.
I think that at 20 games, you will start to see numbers decline. If it's 20 games and it's Easton Stick versus
bad teams, right?
Yeah.
If I'm 4-14,
you're not watching.
14, I'm done.
You're not watching.
What's the point?
Yeah. And look, the NFL, they love to talk about the numbers when they're just, you know, doing much better than the NBA and all that. I never hear NFL flexers talk about Thursday night games. I'm not saying that they're terrible. I'm sure they're good in comparison. Right. But when is the last time some NFL person that you know has said, I mean, Thursday night did X, Y, and Z? Right. So I think it's already happening a little bit. I think it's just very quiet.
Yeah.
I think that when the numbers aren't great, it just kind of goes away.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about, it's never going to happen, but axing Thursday night football? Just get rid of it.
I wouldn't mind it. I mean, I think it's, I mean, they're not. You're right. They're not going to do it because it's an extra day and it's its own
it's Amazon,
independent
yeah.
broadcast, exactly, which they could sell. I mean, the thing, they don't also help themselves out at all. I mean, they keep doing these divisional games where you're going to end up with the Jacksonville Jaguars against the Tennessee Titans on
Thursday.
They
tried this season and got unlucky.
Yeah, that's true too, but I don't love Thursday, but I understand that it is, you know, it's not the biggest deal to me. I don't view it as like appointment television, but you know, it's better than nothing, that's for sure.
Right. And that's
what they'll tell you.
That's
right.
What it's always going to be.
Like, exactly. It's like, okay, we can either have no NFL for these two
right,
weeks
or bad NFL.
It can be bad NFL.
Yeah.
And I will watch bad NFL. I will.
As long as it doesn't coincide with the newest Love is Blind or anything
that's
like
right.
that.
That's right.
Or The Bachelor, that's Bachelorette, right. They should be fine. When we get back, we are talking Brandon Ayuk and him receiving indirectly some good news about the market that he finds himself in due to his skill set on the football field. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
We are 15 minutes away from your chance to win
Breezy, hey,
tickets for Chris Brown. Hopefully he will not sound like that at the concert. I can guarantee you.
I think that was
not.
A low blow. I think that sounded good,
yeah,
to be honest.
Just auto-tune. We just need some auto-tune.
I think you get jealous when someone does something good.
That's what I'm
what?
Reading
whoa,
into
whoa.
It.
Whoa, we can't just come back from a break like this.
You started it.
I don't like how you put that emphasis where you put the emphasis.
I'm learning how to speak.
July 30th is when Chris Breezy will be in town, Sacktown, and the Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports. 15 minutes at 1 o'clock, we will give away those tickets to caller number. You do not know yet. We
oh, almost slipped. Almost gave it away. You give that away, it's over.
Yeah, that's right. That's 15 minutes away, your chance to win Chris Breezy tickets. Chris Brown, as we discuss Brandon Ayuk and how important he is to this team, but I think how important he is a little bit confusing. And Ian Rappaport had some good news if you are a Niner fan that wants to hold on to Brandon Ayuk, because not all of you do. I understand. And this is what Ian Rappaport had to say about the Brandon Ayuk extension.
Frenzy also means trade frenzy, also means contract extension frenzy, which is not quite as catchy, but still something important to the guys who are likely going to get deals, including Brandon Ayuk, the star receiver for the San Francisco 49ers. He kind of raised some eyebrows, I would say, a little bit at the end of the season, leaving his future open with the team. My understanding is, obviously, there are teams who would like to trade for the very, very talented young receiver. The 49ers firmly believe he is in their plans. I would expect them to get to work on a new deal for him, probably after free agency.
Okay. So, sounds like...
Simple as that.
Yeah, sounds like it's going to get done. Nate, any thoughts on Brandon Ayuk and hopefully
we're not,
getting it done?
Yeah, I mean, I'm here for it. Last season, I hope, scared the front office a bit, whipped them into shape with Nick Bosa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's not mess around, guys. Let's get down to business. His blocking, I think, because you were talking about his importance to the team and, you know, question how important he is, kind of. I'm not saying you were dogging him or anything like that, but, I mean, his blocking is so important. Does he want to block? I don't know. Does he want to be here? I think so. I think he seems like a guy who would love, and I can't believe I'm saying, I mean, like, if the Chiefs got him, that dude might be the, like, top three. He might jump into top three consideration. Like, he might jump guys like Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
not like Justin Jefferson, but like Stephon Diggs and stuff. I think Brock, it's good for Brock to keep him here. I don't know if it's great for Ayuk unless he wants to get a Super Bowl. Unless there's, you know, three other teams he could go to and be confident he's going to win a Super Bowl. Bills might be interesting for him. Mm-hmm. I want him here. I want to keep him here. I like him. I like that he has that quote-unquote dog in him. Mm-hmm. He's always throwing people.
No block, no rock.
He's getting in fights. This team kind of does that. They get in fights a lot, even when it's unnecessary, Trent Williams, mm-hmm. which is fine. But Brandon Ayuk, I think, is very key to this team. And him and Debo are tight. And I know that. I know that for sure.
Yeah, well, it's got to be one of those fascinating setups where they're tight, but there's only one ball. I hate to make it that simple, but they're both wide receivers. It's one thing to say, oh, man, this running back is getting the ball so much, but Debo got 11 targets in the Super Bowl. You did not.
It's one game.
It's the big one.
I remember. It was horrible.
I'm not the one who was hopping on social media. That was Ayuk and his people.
I know. I think a lot of that from players in general is manufactured from their agents and from the public. Mm-hmm. I think manufactured as in the players do it, but there's a pressure on them from the outside. And 'cause Debo did it. Debo deleted mm-hmm. all his stuff. When he was arguing, or after the 2021 season, mm-hmm. he did that for his contract dispute. Every single player does it. I think at this point, and I'm curious what you guys think, does that even matter, the social media stuff? Deleting it, unfollowing it. It's so dramatic for a day, mm-hmm. and then everyone forgets about it. And for the most part, it rarely plays into it. Right. I think there was an NBA player recently who said he unfollowed his team for the playoffs or something? Or
yeah,
am I?
I know Justin Fields unfollowed the Bears recently.
Yeah, and he's in a very similar situation, is he not? Yeah. Like, are they going to move on? I know he's a higher profile guy, obviously being a quarterback and being such a high pick, but that stuff is just leverage for contracts, in my opinion.
Yeah,
it's kind of part of it now, and I personally don't care. I know a lot of fans seem to care because
I know Niners fans do too.
A lot of Niners fans
take it very seriously.
I know I know Debo last season, Niner, and somewhat this season, but not the same because he came back and he was in shape and he admitted all those things. But Niners fans were not happy with Debo. They wanted Debo out of here. They did not want him to get paid. He was out of shape. You got McCaffrey. You didn't need him in the backfield anymore. He had removed, and it all started from
when are you talking? You're talking about the beginning of last season?
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, he came out and had that press conference. I'm not going to put anything like that on tape again.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But you mentioned the year before Debo had his contract issue, he held out too, like Nick Bosa is what I'm trying to say. Yes. And that stunted that season for him as well. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they've made the same mistake twice. Fool me, can't get fooled again.
Right.
So three times you don't want to do that. Plain and simple. So hopefully they learn. I just happened to look at I was playing this audio that we just played from Schefter off Twitter, and the top comment says, they always wait until the 11th hour to finalize extensions for some reason. They'll extend him in late July right as training camp starts.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
And that's what they've done before, and I don't want to see that. There's a new front office. Rand Carthen's gone.
Right.
Adam Peters is gone. Mm-hmm. You got, I don't know, we're talking about bringing in Staley. Does that affect any contract things? Probably not.
Right.
But all these new people are moving up. You're seeing Frank Gore spend a lot of time with John Lynch and the boss.
Trying to get
a
draft,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he's there. Know?
Well, he was in the draft room, I believe, last year.
Set the precedent.
Which is weird.
So it's not weird when he's in there this year to take his son.
That's right.
Oh, interesting. Now you're doing conspiracy.
Dude, I'm just throwing him out there.
It's the conspiracy segment. But yeah, I think if they're going to do it, sooner than later, the free agent market, I don't think they're going heavy in the free agent market.
No, they would draft, I think.
They will draft. And I think you bet on the talent you have. Hufanga's coming back.
Right.
In the I know we're talking about I'm talking about the defense now, but you get guys like Hufanga coming back. You get Jair Brown stepping up, going into his second year, hoping for the he played well, but taking that next leap and being a solid player. Mm-hmm. And then everything is kind of set. Like, what can you say? The season Jake Moody needs to get right on special teams, and that's kind of it for personnel.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think that
O-line, but that's tough. That's thin everywhere. O-line is a commodity.
And I think that's why we heard Debo sound the way he sounded. Because these last couple years, there's been something to hang their hat on. Well, Brock got hurt.
Right.
Or we didn't have the guy. Yeah. Jimmy's not the guy or whatever it is. This was the first year, minus Hufanga, who the Chiefs didn't have a menu. The Chiefs didn't have a menu going into the Super Bowl. And, yeah, the Niners obviously lost Greenlaw. Nobody's going to be completely healthy by the time you get to the Super Bowl. This was the first time people are Niners fans are searching. And Niners players, I think, are searching for where did this go wrong.
Right.
It's not that they were passing blame in past years, but they were very obvious things.
Yeah.
Yes, and this season didn't have one. Well, they turned it into Steve Wilkes, and they got him out of here. That's
true. How do you feel, too, about the fact that, if they are going to pay Ayuk, a lot of the conversation when – that I heard from a couple weeks ago is if you're going to be paying two receivers $50 million, that's just – and I know, you can do that when you're not paying much to your quarterback, but $50 million is a lot of money. Like, at that point, you've invested into your receivers the same way you've invested into that offensive line. There's no excuses at that. From a passing game standpoint, you guys better be elite. And they are. Those two are, and they haven't really shown – much signs of slippage, but there's a lot of questions about Debo, how he's going to age and all that. And if you're paying two guys $50 million, that sounds like you're hamstringing yourself quite a bit. And Niners cap experts will say otherwise, and you can have everybody and pay their moms too. But I think that that's a lot of money to lock down for receivers.
I will say the 2024 season, Debo is making $20 million. Next year, he's making $16 million.
Right.
But he's still, I don't understand necessarily how this works. He's still taking a $28 million hit against the cap. So you're saying $50 million combined.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So that's
between
almost,
the two.
That's,
yeah.
That will probably be almost on the money. And it'll be, I'm curious to see if it's matched, if it's more for Ayuk compared to Debo. Like what?
Right. Because what, Debo's at $23 million on his contract?
What happened with the Debo deal is that Trent Baalke signed Christian Kirk to that ridiculous three-year, $76 million, whatever it was, deal. And that screwed up the signing of Debo. So that's why I'm also advocating for getting the deal done early.
Mike Evans just got paid, though. And I've seen a lot of people say that that's going to – that's probably going to help Ayuk get a lot more money.
It's
too.
Better that it was a guy and a name like Mike Evans, in my opinion,
right,
who's still...
Not Christian Kirk, yeah.
No, not Christian Kirk. A guy who's mediocre, who actually got better
it's
after
almost
the
like the Rudy Gobert trade, where it's like, you traded so much for this caliber of guy. What does that mean for everybody above him?
That really screwed up the receiver market.
Yeah.
And honestly, not even just the receiver market. I feel like the tight end market got a little messed up from that, too. I don't want to see something like that happen. Yeah, if Mike Evans is already being signed, I know it's different when it's a rookie deal, but something's got to happen sooner rather than later. That's what I'd like to see, plain and simple.
Yeah, the list, Mike Evans with that new two-year deal is now at number four. Tyreek Evans making $30 million a year. Devontae Adams making $28 million a year. Tyreek Hill making... $30 million a year. Devontae Adams making 20.
Oh, you said Evans. I'm sorry.
Let's get the break. We'll be back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.